We're holding a couple of Vav Amud Aleph, the ninth line. We've been learning about the case where a person made a neder to bring a mincha and forgot what kind he had said. So we've said, Mishnah had said he has to bring all five types of regular mincha that a minchas yachid can bring, and we had a whole discussion about what about a pointer of Shimon, who says that it's possible to have a mincha of mixed chalas and rikikin, unlike the chachamim, who say that if it's going to be chalas, it's going to be all chalas, and if rikikin, all rikikin. So according to them, it's very straightforward. You have five, whereas according to Reb Shimon, are there possibilities that you might have to bring more? And we went through all of that. So now continuing on, we talked about before that at the end of the previous parak that decides that a person can bring any of those five types of mincha. In addition, a person can bring a minchas nesachim. So, in that case, then in that case, shouldn't we have a suffix also whether the guy had donated, had said that he's going to bring a minchas nesachim? So it shouldn't just be the five that we said. It should also be the minchas nesachim. So why not? We said at the end of the previous parak that the person could donate a minchas nesachim every day, even without an accompanying carbon. And actually be said, even though the full nesachim consists of flour and oil mixed together, plus wine, he's able to bring one without the other. We said everybody agrees that he can bring wine by itself. Everybody agrees that he can bring the flour and oil mixture by itself, and it will be treated as a regular minchas nesachim, completely burnt on the mizbeach. We had a machlokes in the Mishnah at the end of the previous parak whether a person can bring oil by itself as a korban on it. But in any case, so why don't we say then, here he said, I'm going to bring a mincha. He forgot what kind he said, and he mentioned a specific kind. Then he forgot. Why shouldn't we require him to bring that sixth one as well? And the answer is, keep on a stop delay, that no. Because when the guy has a suffix, when he has a suffix, about what kind of neder he made, you can assume that, and here the Gemara interjects with simen, yochid beglal levoina belum lekamsa. These are key words for five differences between the five types of menachos versus a minchas nesachim, such that we can assume that he never meant to have in mind any of these the minchas nesachim for any of these five reasons. First of all, the five types of menachas come only as a mincha of a yachin. They can never be brought by the tzibur, as opposed to, and then we learned at the end of the previous parak, that not even a tzibur, you can't even have two people pool their funds together to bring a mincha, as opposed to a minchas nesachim is very much brought by the tzibur, because the tzibur brings minchas nesachim together with all their orlos and all their, So automatically, in other words, so he would know that he wouldn't have done a minchas nesachim because, in other words, he would realize that he meant to be menadev only, or that he was noder only one that he could bring individually. That's one reason. Therefore, you can assume beglot sibur, Bobby glot sibur, when the stop delay, you can assume he never would have had a suffix about a carbon that's brought additionally because of the sibur. It would be glal over here. It takes out, and it says on the side it should go out. So Bobby yachid versus Bobby yachid bought sibur. So the five types of menachas can be brought only by a yachid. The minchas nesachim, sure, it can be brought by a yachid, but it's also brought by the tzibur. We can assume that that's not what he meant. The one the Foshim talk about, by the way, the Gemara makes it sound, the Lashon of the Gemara makes it sound like we're talking about that he has the suffix. In other words, we ask him, what do you mean? And he says, I really can't remember, but we try him, you know, do you think it was something that's brought only by a yachid? Well, I'm not sure I remember. Well, do you think it was only something? And we go through all these possibilities, and hopefully one of them will jog his memory. And maybe, in other words, the idea is, if Taka after that, he doesn't remember, maybe the idea would maybe be that he would actually have to bring a minchas nesachim as well. The zevach toida, the chazan, the I mean the the Chofetz Chaim points that out in his sefer of Chidushim on Or Masechta. Yosef Atoy points that out, and then they point out that the Ramban disagrees with that and says he would never have to bring a Minchas Nesachim, even if all he'd have to bring is the five that it said in the Mishnah, and never a Minchas Nesachim, even if he himself is not sure, because in other words, not so much whether he is certain or not, we can be certain that he wouldn't have said a Minchas Nesachim unless he remembers it. Because of these considerations. So first of all, again, we have the point that a minchas nesachim can be brought by a tzibur, whereas the other five can be brought only by a yachid. Second of all, he would have a suffix only about the kind of mincha that could be brought by itself. That's always brought by itself. Normally comes together with a korban. Sure, it's possible for a person to bring a minchas nesachim on its own, but that's not usually how it's brought. So it's different enough than a regular mincha that we can assume that he didn't have that in mind. Or we can ask him, and he might jog his memory, whatever. Similarly, a third distinction, Lavoina, in the simon that we had, become a sapphire, tuna Lavoina. He would only have a suffix about one of the types of menachas that requires Lavoina. Chain a tuna Lavoina on a sapphire. He would never have a suffix in the first place that he might have said the type of mincha that doesn't require Lavoina, namely a mincha sasach. Another difference, he would only have a suffix which type of mincha it was, where all of them require one lug of oil. Any of the five types of menachas, the standard thing, is one isodon and one lug. We talked about before, and we're going to talk about again soon, that a person can bring a larger mincha as well, and then you have a machlokas whether there are more lugim in it, but in any case, the standard mincha is one isodon and one lug. So he would have a suffix, which of those he meant, baba shloisha lugim, let me stop for that. He would never have a suffix about whether he might have donated a mincha that requires a minimum of three lugim of oil, namely a mincha sasafim. And the fifth difference, tuna knitza, tuna knitza. Another point is he would only have a suffix that he might have donated one of the five types of menachas, all of which require a mincha, all of which require knitza. Shaina tuna knitza, like a mastakala, he would never have a suffix that he might have donated a mincha snisachim, which does not require knitza. So because of all those differences, it's very unlikely. So again, following the Rashi, the way that the Chofetz Chaim and then the Yoshua Tov understand him, we're saying, in other words, that we would ask him all these possibilities. You know, you said you're going to bring a mincha, but you forgot what time. Is there any possibility that you had in mind the kind that you brought by itself? And he would say no. Is there any possibility you were thinking of the kind that is usually brought together with another korban? No. And so we narrow it down that way, and eventually that jogs his memory. You know, for sure, I didn't say a minchas nesachim. What I said was one of the other five types, and I'm not sure which. And again, according to that way of looking at it, if Itaka doesn't know at the end, he might have to bring also a Minchas Nesachim. But again, according to the Rambam, maybe not. Regardless, he would never have to bring a Minchas Nesachim unless he knows that that's what he was meant after. Whenever you have the Simonim and Shas, that you have over here, the words Yochid, Gglal, Levoina, you always have, I've mentioned before, a sefer called Amnaseach LeDavid from Reb David Paro, one of the great Sfardish Agoinim. He always brings a deeper explanation of what the Gemara means by it. It's not just a technical thing in order to help remember the things in the Gemara. So he always talks about a remez in it. So he talks about that a mincha represents Malchus and Levona. He says instead of Levona over here, it's really Levona, the moon. And then it also has to do with Malchus, and he explains how the bringing of a mincha helps rebuild up Hashem's Malchus in our world, which is also associated with the moon. And then he goes and explains how each of these five expressions relates to that. So Yochid Beglal Levona, the Yochid brings a korban for the sake of the Levona, and Belug Mekamtza represents how he brings down Hashem's Malchus into our world thereby. The Mishnah said, Pirashti Mincha Shal Asuroinim. The person says, I specified that I'm going to bring a mincha made of Asuroinim, but I don't remember how many Asuroinim. So then we had a machlokas in the Mishnah. We had the Tanakhama had said, then fine, he brings 60 Asuroinim in one Keli, and that way he's Yotze no matter what, because for sure he didn't say more than 60 in one Keli, because like we learned at the end of the previous parak, you can't bring more than that. On the other hand, Rebbe had said that he would have to bring 60 Kelim, one with one Isurin, two with two, three with three, etc. So the Gemara says, turn it up. So we learn in a Braisa more details about that. If the person says, Perashi Mincha, if the person says, I specified that I'm going to bring a Mincha, the Kavaiti, the Kli Echad Shalasroinim, and I established that I specified that I'm going to say it, that I'm going to bring it in one cave. But I'm not sure what I specified. I don't remember how much I specified. The wording of the Gemara is a little difficult, and Hagoy Sabach corrects it to say that he says, I said that I'm going to bring a mincha of Esroinim, and I established that it's going to be in one keli. I specified that it's going to be in one keli, and now I don't remember how many Esroinim. So what does he do? So Ve'en Yedei Ma'pirashti, so I don't know what I specified. So then Yovi Mincha Shal Shishim Esroinim. So like we said in the Mishnah, the Chum said he brings one mincha of 60 Esroinim, and that's that, and he's good no matter what, because whether he had said one Esroin or two or anything all the way up to 60, he's Yotzer with that. Rebbe Yoimer, and Rebbe says, no, Yovi Mincha Shal Esroinim Me'echad Vad Shishim. No, he's going to have to bring one Kevi with one Esroin and a second Kevi with two Esroinim, and so on and so forth, all the way up to 60. Shehin Elef Hoshmona Me'os Hoshloshim. So it comes out he's going to have to bring 1,830 Esroinim. We worked through the calculation at the beginning of the parak how the sum of the numbers 1 through 60 equals 1830. Elef Shmoina points out a short way of remembering that number is the word Eshel. The Aleph standing for Elef, the Shin standing for Shloshim, and the Lamed standing for the Shin standing for Shmoina Meis, and the Shin also doing double duty, I guess, for the Shin of Shloshim, and the Lamed standing for the Lamed of Shloshim. So that way you can remember the figure. Then you have another case. The Braisa continues. What if he says Perashti, the Ein Yodei Ma Perashti? Not only he says I specified how many Esroinim I was going to bring, but I don't remember how many. But on top of that, he says, I specified one type of mincha, and I don't remember which one. I don't remember whether I said that I'm going to bring a mincha solos, or mincha smachlas, or marcheshes, or so forth. I don't know which one of them I specified, and I don't know how much I specified, so he really doesn't know anything. So the Chum will say, following their shitta, okay, so he has to bring five menachas, each of 60 asroinim, totaling 300. He'll bring one mincha solos of 60, and that way, no matter what he had said, if he had said a mincha solos, then he's covered no matter what, because he's brought the number that he said, and if we have the rest, if we have other flour mixed into it, then the Chum say it's not a big deal, as we're going to explain in a minute in the Gemara why that is. And again, Rebbe Omer, and Rebbe says, following his shita, no, Yavi Chomash Menachas Shal Shishim Esroinim, me'echad ad shishim. No, he's going to have to bring, again, he's going to have to bring 60 menachas of up to 60 Esroinim from 1 to 60. So again, he's going to have to bring, so in the previous case, he knew what kind of mincha it was, he just didn't know the amount. So he brings one mincha of one Esroin, and two of two, and another one of two Esroinim, and another one of three Esroinim, and so forth. Now he has to do the same thing for each of the five types of mincha, because he forgot which type he had specified. So the result is, it comes out, Shehen Tisha Alof and Omeya B'chamishim, altogether then he's going to have to bring 9,150 Esroinim to cover all the possibilities, says Rebbe. He also, Shittim Kubetis, brings a simon for it, the word Tof Mem Ches, the Tof stands for Tisha, the Mem stands for Meya, and the Ches stands for Chamishim. So that's how much he's going to have to bring according to Rebbe. Okay, the Gemara says, B'mai from Mithili, what is the underlying machlokes? Why do the Chachamim say that it's enough to bring one mincha of the one type, or the five types, as the case may be, of 60 Esroinim, and that's good enough no matter how much he had said in his original matter, whereas Rebbe is saying you need a separate amount for each one. So Rav Chista says, the underlying machlokes is, oh, you're allowed to bring korban into the azar. So, in other words, the problem is that if, let's say, he had said only 10 esroinim, then it comes out he has 10 esroinim mixed in with 50 that are not required for the mincha. So, Rebbe Sava also lahachnas korban la'azara. So Rebbe will say that you're not allowed to bring cholin into the Azara. So therefore, how can he bring, for example, a mincha of 60, where only 10 of it might be kodesh and the other 50 are not? Then he's bringing the cholin into the Azara. Rabbanan stopping Mutalahatna school Nazara, whereas the Rabbanan hold you allowed to, and therefore no problem. He can bring in 60 Isarin and have in mind and make a tnai that whatever is going to be whatever was supposed to be for the mincha will be for the mincha, and the rest of it will be cholin. Now Rashi points out that you can't, why would you have to say the rest of it is cholin? Why not say the rest of it is nedava? The problem is, Rashi says, because you can't mix a minchas choiva with a minchas nedava. So you can't have that this mincha consisting of 60 sarin, that 10 of it, for example, should be his requirement, and the other 50 would be nedava. You can't do that. The only alternative is to say that the other 50 is cholin. Now, then Rashi says in that case, so what are you doing as far as the koimets? Then it comes out that part of the koimets that koin is taking is going to come out to be cholin. And you don't have a proper koimets having taken. So so Rashi answers, we learned earlier in the Masechta that in cases like that, in certain cases of doubts and things like that with a mincha, we say we can rely on the das of the koyin. Well, then the koyin has in mind that what he's taking is the kodesh and not the cholin. So therefore, there's no problem with it. He has in mind that the flour that he's taking should specifically be from the flour that is meant for kodesh. In other words, in a certain sense, it's almost like Breira, but the Achronim point out that we don't really have. The din is, it's things Daraisa, we don't have Breira. So it's not really, it's not really so much that the Koyan is doing it, and then we have Breira, that retroactively, it turns out that this was the one. It means, in other words, the Koyan can decide on the spot which flower should be for Choyva and which for Nedava, and therefore it can work. So it's not a matter of Breira. It's left up to him to determine at the time which one it will be. There was quite a bit of discussion about various ins and outs of this point. First of all, Tosfos points out all of this would only work according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, who say that a larger mincha gets more lugim of oil. According to the Elazar ben Yaakov, there would be no way for that to work, because if you have cholin flour and mincha flour mixed together, and each one has absorbed some of the oil, then you're going to have the isarin, which is supposed to be kodesh, is not the only thing that has absorbed that lug of oil. Other flour in the container necessarily will have also, and then you have not enough oil. So Tosfos points out that this whole thing could only work according to the Chacham. Anyway, in a case also you have the Sfas Emes has some discussions of all these things that maybe according to the Prista we would say you are allowed to mix Choyva with Nedava. So therefore, Rav Chista would say that so Rav Chista himself would hold that so we said that the Rabbanan said you're allowed to mix them, and Rebbe says that not. So maybe, in other words, maybe. So Rashi is explaining that Rav Chista holds that both Rebbe and the Rabbanon do hold that you can't mix. So Rava's answer is going to be that the machlokas is whether you can mix choyva with nedava. Rav Chista just says the machlokas is whether you can bring cholim into the azara, and Rashi explains that Rav Chista evidently holds both of them hold you can't mix choyva with nedava, and therefore the only alternative is the extra flour is going to be cholim, and then Rebbe says that would be a problem because cholim ba'azara, and the Chum don't care about that. As Fasemis points out, that maybe you could argue according to Rav Chista, you would say that he himself would hold you are allowed to mix choyva with nedava, and we would understand the machlokas of Rebbe and the Chachamim in view of that. Anyway, so that's Rav Chista's explanation. So you can't have cholin ba'azara, and of this mincha, some of it may be cholin, and therefore Rebbe won't allow it, and the Chachamim will. Rava gives a different answer. The kula alma also lahachnas cholin ba'azara. Everybody agrees that you're not allowed to bring cholin into the azara. The question is exactly that: can you mix a choyva with an adava? By the way, Rashi points out as far as Rav Chista's explanation, when we're saying that Rebbe would say you can't bring cholin ma'azara, Rashi says, okay, so why don't you do? He'll bring different kalim, 60 astronis and 60 kalim, and say, well, you know, let's say I'd said 10, and 10 of these kalim will be choyva, and the rest of them will be nedava. They're not mixed together. What's the problem? The problem is, Rashi says, because you also have to have, he said that he's going to bring them in a keli, And therefore, so you can't bring one Isoda or a Kaili if, in fact, it's a 2 or 3 or 10 or whatever it is. So therefore, Rebbe is saying the only alternative is to bring one Kaili with 1 and 2 Kaili with, and then another Kaili with 2 and another Kaili with 3 and so forth. And that way he's covered no matter what. Anyway, but again, that was a point of Krista. Rava is saying that, no, everybody agrees you can't bring Chol Ma'azar. So therefore, so the remaining flour for sure can't be cholin. It's going to have to be nedava. Well, then that is the machlokas. Can you mix chayva with nedava? Rabbanan sabri mutal arav chayva with nedava. The Rabbanan hold, you're allowed to mix them together. So you can have 60 sodan in one kaili, and some of it can be chayva and some of it can be nedava, and no problem. The Rebbe Sava also out of chayva with nedava, whereas Rebbe holds you can't do that. And therefore you can't have a kaili that contains some chayva and some nedava, and therefore you're going to have to bring separate menachas of the different sizes. Tosfos points out the gears over here should be not rava, but rava. The Gemara continues, Omale Abaya the Rava. So Abaya asks the Rava, the Rabbanan, the Ami Mutal Arav, Choyva ben Adaba. Well, then, if you're explaining that according to the Chachamim, you're allowed to mix a Minchas Choyva with a Minchas Nedaba, the problem is, Hobba in and Shnei Kmatzin. Doesn't the Kohen have to take two coins in, one for the Choyva, one for the Nedaba? And the Mishnah doesn't say any such thing. So Rava answers, okay, the Kometz, the Hodra Kometz, exactly that. He takes a Kometz from one, and then he takes a Kometz from the other. But the question is, the menachos are mixed together. It's going to come out that he's taking from one on behalf of the other, similar to the question that we had before about if there's chulin involved, that Rashi had pointed out. If there's chulin involved, here you have the same question. If there's no chulin involved, one's choiva and one nedava, you have the same problem. And the answer is, the Tolu may be das koyin. He makes it depend on the koyin's das. The Omar, the one who's bringing this korban, says, kol hecha the matzi yodah the koyin hashta, wherever the koyin's hand reaches, choyva, that should be what he picks up in his first koymets, should all be for choyva, all of a sudden nedava, and what he reaches for the second one should all be nedava. Again, on the face of it, that sounds like a classic case of brera. But a couple of the Olas Shloima and Yoshua Tov point out that it's not so much a matter of Brera, but he's saying, I'm leaving it up to the Kohen on the spot to determine which part should be considered Chova and which parts should be considered Nedava. And that way we can do it. Different other achronim talk about different other possibilities with that also. Usually you have the problem that it has extra flour and extra oil in it, and here don't you have that? It's mixed together, and therefore they're mavato one another, and you have a problem. But here, the Chazanish gives an explanation. After all, look, you know, the person may taka have said 60 esroinim. So therefore, even if there might be chulin or nedava in there, it's not going to be a problem because there is the possibility, after all, that it really was meant to be 60 esroinim all along. So the Gemara says back, Turi Heifin Makter. Okay, so now the question is, Tosfos points out, by the way, in the Sugya earlier in the Masechta, where we discussed this point about the Das of the Koyan, we have cases over there involving where you had three half a Sroinim and a Kaili, and which ones does the Koyan have in mind when he takes the Koymets, because he can only have in mind two of them, otherwise that's in son and a half, and it's too large for a Mincha. And Abaya, Tosfos points out, Abaya held over there that we can't say we go according to the Das of the Koyan, but here Abaya would agree that's fine. The question is, okay, but how is he actually offering these coins on them as there? Should he burn the one of Nedava first? Then how would he be allowed to burn the one of Choyva? After all, maybe the entire Mincha was Choyva. Maybe it really was, he had in fact made a neder to bring 60 Yisroinim. And now it comes out. You took out another Chometz first. V'chosru lehu shirayim. Now you have the shirayim are lacking. You don't have you're supposed to have, after you take the Chometz, that all the shirayim are still intact. And you don't, because you already took out an unnecessary Chometz from it. V'omamayim, and we learned earlier at the beginning of the Sefer, shirayim shechotru ben kmitzu laktara en maktur Chometz aleihem. That when there's something lacking of the shirayim, after the kmitza, before the burning it, then you can't offer the kohenets. To be exact, actually, that was the opinion of Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan had said over there you could offer the kohenets, but he says that you can't eat the mincha. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the question would be formulated then that how are the kohenim going to eat this mincha afterwards? and Lichter Choyver Bedei Shra, you're going to say, fine, let's burn the Koymets of Choyver first. Then you have the opposite problem, the Nedaba Hesem Akakala. Then how can you burn the one that is supposed to be representing Nedaba? The Duma Kola Choyver. Maybe the entire Mincha was in fact Choyver, and everything that's left after you will offer its Koymets is Shirayim, which is supposed to be eaten by the Koyanim. And as we know, we have the rule, the Chol Shomim Menu L'Ishim, whenever you have a korban, that some of it has to go on the Mizbeach, on the fire of the Mizbeach, Harayu B'Val Taktiru. Then you have an Isur Minat Torah to burn any other part of it on the Mizbeach. So if he had actually said sixth, and he brings Taka sixth, and you take one Koymetz of Choyva and burn it on the Mizbeach, now the rest of it automatically is Shirayim, and you're not allowed to take any part of it and burn it on the Mizbeach. And again, the other way around is also no good, because if you're going to first burn the one of Nedaba, then you're lacking some of the Shirayim before the one of Choyva is brought. So one way or the other, you seem to be stuck. The answer is Amar Rabbi Yehuda Brei Derev Shem Ben Pazi, the Masiklu L'Shem Eitzim. What he does is he offers the second Koymetz, the one of Nedaba, as if it was firewood. You're going to say there's an Isser to burn any part of the Shirayim, but no, when you're doing it, having in mind that it's firewood, then that's fine. Ukhtar Rabbi Yezer, namely, that would be, like, that would work, like the opinion of Rabbi Yezer. The Tanya Rabbi Yezer, Omer, when the Pasuk says, L'reyach mikhoyach, when the Pasuk says, V'el mizbeach l'yalu l'reyach mikhoyach, that you're not allowed to bring se'ur and dvash, is the original context of the Pasuk, that you're not allowed to bring chometz or honey, fruit juice on the Mizbeach, and the Pasuk says they shouldn't be brought up, L'reyach Nichoyach. So as we learned in Zvachim, L'reyach Nichoyach, Yatamala, you can't bring them up for Reyach Nichoyach, have in mind that there should be a korban, Avalatamala, L'shom Eitzim, but you can bring them up having in mind that they're firewood. So then that way, so he does that. So he'll bring up that koymetz, and I'll have in mind, if we need for a Minchas Nedava, then good. And if not, then this will be considered as if it was firewood. It's still not so glatt, which is why the Gemara goes on with the discussion. So the Gemara continues. Why do we need these explanations so far of Rav Chista and Rava or Rava? Can't we do a different answer? Maybe we should say that both Rebbe and the Chachamim say that you are allowed to mix a minchas choiva and a minchas nedava. So you have a mincha over here of 60 yisarim, and only part of it may be choiva, and that's fine. The Chacham and Rebbe Eliezer commit for you. The machlokas would be precisely, do they agree with Rebbe Eliezer's, principle of being able to do things that otherwise can't be offered on the mizbeach, l'shem eitzim, or not? The Rabbanan Isluhu de Rabbi Yezer, the Rabbi Lester de Rabbi Yezer. So we would say the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yezer, and therefore they say that we have this Choyva and Nedava potentially mixed together. So what will we do? We'll take two coins in of it, and we'll have in mind the first one for Choyva, the second one for Nedava, and we'll bring the second one, if necessary, having in mind that L'shem Eitzim, and that way we've made the whole Mincha Mutter, and we're covered. Whereas we'd say Rebbe doesn't hold of Rebbe Eliezer's principle, and therefore we'd say very nice. You can have in mind that Minchas Choyva and Minchas Nedava can be mixed. But practically speaking, what are you going to do with the Koyntzim afterwards? Like we said before, then you're one way or the other. You seem to be stuck. So that could explain Rebbe Eliezer's opinion. That could explain Rebbe's opinion. He doesn't hold like Rebbe Eliezer, and therefore he says, look, you're going to bring a Mincha over here, which is possibly part Choyva and part Nedava, and then you're going to be stuck. What you're going to do with the Koyntzim? Don't do that. Instead, you have to bring a separate Kalim with a separate amount of flour in each one. Why don't we say that way? Amalei, so Rav Ashi answers, you can't do that. If you were going to explain Rebbe like that you are allowed to mix choyva with nedava, and meanwhile that he doesn't hold of Rebbe Eliezer's principle, and therefore you can't offer something l'shem eitzim, then you don't need him to bring, then you don't need the guy to bring one keli with one, a second keli with a second one, and a third one with three, etc. Efsher demaisi shitin b'chadmona, b'chadmona. All he would have to do then is he could bring 60 isarin in one keli, and one in one keli, umagalahu, he'll touch the It'll touch the flour together, not enough where it gets mixed together, but not enough where it gets mixed together, but at least where they're touching one another. And then the komets, and then he can do, then he can do the komets from the keli that have from the larger keli. He'll do first from the larger one, and he'll have in mind if the whole thing is the choiva, then good, and if not, then whatever I just took as the komets will be the choiva, and whatever I take from the other keli will be on behalf of the other isorin and will be a nedava. So this way, in other words, so why would Rebbe, if that was Rebbe's position, he wouldn't say that you need one, two, three, etc., and take a separate koimetz for each one. No matter what, you could take you could have 61 in two kelim and take a koimetz from each one and then you're covered that way no matter what. How exactly he touches them together. So Rashi explains that all you need is that the tops of them touch one another, and then that's good enough. Now it can be considered, in a certain sense, one mincha, and now you're able to take a koimetz from it, because after all, you need to take a koimetz from the mincha, all has to be together. Tosfos has some discussion about it over here, what exactly we had a case earlier in the Masechta where you have, let's say, a keli that's like a reva shaltana gurlim. It's like a dish that you use feeding chickens where you have there's a partial wall part way up and then they touch above or below it. So here it would be the same kind of thing. In other words, that the actual that it's not just enough that the actual kelim touch; it would actually have to be touched. It would actually have to be that the substance of the mincha touches one another. And Tosfos goes on to discuss, you know, all this time we're talking about, can you mix choiva with ndava? What about if you have choiva mixed with other choiva? So according to Rebbe's, then why didn't he say if I said 60 then I still have one, so why don't we say, in other words, let him bring 59, and he'll say if I said 60 then I'm still missing one isor, and if I said less than 60 then okay, whatever I'm missing. So then he brings 60 in one and one in the other and does the whole thing, and the whole thing is choiva. In other words, why don't we have him take another neder to get, in other words, let him say something like this. Tosfos is saying, let him say something like this. I don't know whether I said anywhere from 1 to 60, but for sure more than 60 I didn't say. So now let's say I'm going to make a neder to bring however much more I need to get to 61. So either let's say I'd said 60 and I have one more to go, or I'd said 59 and I have two more to go, or 58 and I have three more to go, etc. So now he'll bring 60 in one in the other, because now we're saying, points to the possibility that you can mix choiva with nedava, and certainly you can mix choiva with choiva, and why does he do that? And Tosfos says, we don't want to do that because we don't want to make him take an extra neder. In any case, the point is that, the fact that Rebbe doesn't say all that, the fact that Rebbe says you do actually have to bring one and two and three and so forth, implies that Rebbe does not in fact hold that you can mix choiva with nedava, and therefore that's we have the two answers that we had on Amar Aleph. Either that's a matter of bringing cholin into the azara, that we would say the rest of it is not nedava, it's cholin altogether, And you can't do that. Or you would say, fine, it doesn't have to be cholin. It could be nedava, but Rebbe would hold you can't mix choiva with nedava. So we can't understand Rebbe that. So therefore, we can't understand Rebbe's opinion that way to say that you are allowed to mix them together. Okay, Rava Amar. Rava gives a different answer. So here's where Tosfos points out that before we had Rava, but apparently it would have to be Rava. And here we have a different answer that Rava offers. The Kula Alma Mutav Arav Choiva Ben Adava. We're going to say everybody agrees, Rebbe and the Chachamim both agree that you're allowed to mix a Minchas Choiva with a Minchas Nedava. Or the Kula Alma Isfahu de Rabbi Yezer. Let's say they all hold like Rabbi Yezer that you're allowed to take that second Koimetz and offer it L'shem Eitzim, having in mind that it was wood, if necessary. So what's the problem? The machlokas of Rebbe and the Chachamim would be the same as the machlokas of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim. The Tanan, we learned earlier in the Masechta that the Chachamim hold afilu mincha shel shishim yisaren noisim la shishim lug, that if you have a mincha of 60 yisaren, then you need 60 lug of oil. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I'm after the mincha shel shishim yisaren, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says no. Even if it's a mincha of 60 yisaren, ema ela luga, you only put one lug of oil in it. Shenema, the mincha, the loy shaman, because the pasuk mentions by mitzvah four mincha and a loy and a lug of oil. Let me talk about over there why the chachamim don't learn from that pasuk. In any case, the point is, so now Rabbanan savi to Rabbanan. So now the Rabbanan over here against Rebbe agree with the Rabbanan over there against Rebbe Lezon Yaakov, Gami Samach Lug, where they say there will be 60 Lug, L'chochad l'chad Yisorin, Lug of Shokoshokul. Well, very well then. Each Yisorin has its Lug, and therefore it's no problem. You have, if he had said that he's going to bring one Yisorin, then the one Yisorin has its Lug mixed in with it. The fact that we have 59 more Sroinim, they have their 59 Lugim, no problem. You're allowed to mix Choyva with Nedava, so you can have in one Keli over here a Mincha, which is one Isoran of Choyva and 59 of Nedava. And it can also be 2 and 58 and 3 and 57 and so forth. It's no problem, because no matter what, the amount of oil is going to be proportional to the amount of flour, according to the Chachamim. We're ready, Sabach, Rebbe Lezman Yaakov, ready, though, is going to hold like Rebbe Lezman Yaakov, Yoma, Eimla, Ela Luga. Or Rebbe Lezman Yaakov says, no matter what, you only have the one lug, well then you have a problem. You can't bring 60 yisodan in one keli. Lo yadinin, ichodem mincha, he desagile b'chad lug. So now we have a person, therefore, so for lo yadinin, ichodem mincha, he desagile b'chad lug. So now we don't know, is it only one mincha, and one lug would be enough? Ishtei menachas minu, or is it in fact two menachas, debein and shnei lugin, and then you would require two lugin. Because look, if part of it is choyva and part of it is nedava, each one, according to Rebbe Lezman Yaakov, is a separate mincha, is going to require a separate lug. So then, as a practical matter, Rebbe is going to say, you can't put in one lug, because you might have too little, you can't put in two lugim, it might be too much, and therefore you have no alternative, says Rebbe, but to bring them in separate Canaan. Yet another explanation, Rav Ashi says another way we can explain the machlokas of Rebbe and the Chachamim. The cotton, the heavy gadol k'mifli. The machlokas would be if a person made a neder that he's going to bring a smaller korban and he brought a larger korban. So is he yotze? So Rabbanan Savri cotton the heavy gadol yotze. So if he said that he's going to bring a smaller korban and he brings a larger one, then he's yotze. So good. We don't need any tznoyim. We don't need any anything. Like we said all this time, no minchas nedava and minchas choyva. We can say he had said that he's going to bring one isorin or two or three or whatever up to 60. Fine, he brings 60. No matter what, we'd say the whole 60 becomes his choyva. In effect, we would say even though to begin with he only said one or two or three or whatever, nevertheless though the whole thing becomes his choyva because he is in fact yotze. By bringing an extra large korban. The Rebbe Sava lo yotze. Rebbe would hold he's not yotze. He said he's going to bring a korban of a certain size and he has to bring that size. Well, the Gemara says if you're going to go with that explanation, then. The problem is with that we already have a machlokas about that point. We're going to have a couple of mishnayos further. We'll learn tomorrow, Baruch Hashem, where we have exactly the same machlokas. It's not cotton vehevi gadol yotze Rebbe Yomer layotze, where the Mishnah says that if he made a neder that he's going to bring a small animal, let's say, and he brought a larger animal, then the Chacham says he's Yotze, and Rebbe says he's not Yotze. So if so Mela, according to all the explanations that we had so far of Chistas and Rabbas and Ravas, then fine. Our Mishnah has nothing to do with that, and our Mishnah has to do with this matter of can you bring Chulin into the Azara, or can you mix Choyva with Nedava, or how many lugim of oil does the korban need? But now, if you're going to say the whole machlokas is just when he said that I would bring one isarim, can he be yotze by bringing 60 isarim? That's exactly the same as we're going to have a couple of mishnayos later. And the answer is, even according to Rav Ashi, we would say we still need both of them. If we only had the case here with the mincha, you would say, you know why the Chacham say that you can bring an extra large mincha, because the fact is, no matter what, you're taking out the same amount of koimetz and burning it on the zeh. But when it comes to an animal korban, to come to fishy emurin, a larger animal is going to have larger emurin. Maybe they would agree with Rebbe that he's not yotze. He had said that he's going to bring an animal which has a certain size of emurin, and he's bringing one that has a larger size emurin. Burim is there, maybe no good. The eat my bahi, and if we only had that machlokas, then he would say the other way around. Bahi ka'am a Rebbe. Only there does Rebbe say he's not yotze because he's bringing too much. Abu Bahar, but here we're again. It's the same size koymetz regardless. Ema modulu the rabban, and maybe he would agree with the chachamim tzricha, and therefore we would need both of them. So Rav Ashi's answer can still stand. And we can say that that's the nub of the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim is about cotton v'hegi gadol. So altogether we had four explanations of the machlokas. We had Rav Chista's explanation that the remaining flour above and beyond what he had actually said is cholin, and you have the question of whether you can bring cholin into the azara. You have, by the way, Tosfos had pointed out earlier in the Masechta, what do you mean you can't bring cholin la'azara? People all the time bringing things for kodesh ben kabayis or something. So why can't we say that? He'll say it won't just be cholin, it'll be for kodesh ben kabayis. It'll go to the upkeep and the maintenance of the Mishnah. So Tosfos discusses earlier in the Masechta reasons why you can't do that. One reason is because people are going to see you are in fact buying it back from Hekdesh, and people are going to think that you can actually do that. Once a mincha was in a kli shoreis, that you can actually buy it back from Hekdesh, we learned at the beginning of our perek that it's not so. And therefore, at the beginning of the previous perek, it's not so. You can't be poida mincha once it was placed in a kli shoreis. So we don't want to do that. Anyway, that was Rav Chista's answer. Then we had Rava's answer, that it's a matter of whether you're allowed to mix a minchas choiva with a minchas nedava. Then we had Rava's answer that the question is whether a mincha of 60 yisorin gets 60 log of oil, or whether each mincha gets only one log of oil regardless of the size, or whether it gets an amount of oil proportional to the amount of flour. And then we have Ravashi's answer that they're just arguing about when a person said, I'm going to bring a mincha of a certain size, can he be yotze if he brings one of a larger size? So now the Gemara is going to, now we have another simon. Simon eats in the Zohav Yayin, Ola Toda Shur. This is Simon for the next few Mishnayas, which are going to talk about cases where a person says that I'm going to bring such and such as a korban, such and such as a donation to the Beis Mikdash, and he doesn't specify the size of it. So then we have to determine what the minimum size is. He also, Rav David Powder, has an explanation about it, that Eitzim Zohar, he has the Gyusa, not Yayin, but Yoshan, Eitzim Zohar Yoshan, and he explains it has to do with Olam HaTohu and everything, and then Olam Toda, sure, is all talking about how we take ancient sparks of Kedusha from Olam HaTohu, which preceded our world, and turn them into Kedusha. So he says that's the deeper meaning of the simon. Anyway, so the Mishnah starts off. Harei olai eitzim. If a person says, I'm going to donate wood to the Beis Mikdash, so what's the minimum amount? The least that he should bring is two pieces of wood of the size that are put on the ma'aroch. Because when he says eitzim in plural, then he means that he must mean at least two. So in other words, he wouldn't be yotze his nether unless he did that. Tosfos points out that if he did say eight, then he would be able to bring one piece. There's a Mishnah in Shkolo mentions that point. Actually, the Yerushalmi there mentions it. Yeah. Levoina. If a person says that I'm going to bring levoina as a korban, lo yifchis mi koimetz, then he should bring not less than one koimetz of levoina. Tosfos points out an interesting point. The Gemara discusses in Yerushalmi and Shkalim, when we say a koimetz, do we mean a koimetz of the owner's size handful or the koyan's size handful? Because ultimately the koyan is going to have to take that handful and burn it on the mizbeach. So do we maybe figure out the size of the koimetz based on the koyan's hand, or do we go based on the owner's hand? And the Mishnah interjects, Chamisha koimetzim hein. There's five cases, five dinim, where you have to have a koimetz. Number one, we just said, Ha'ima alai levoina. If a person says that I volunteer to bring levoina to the Beis Mikdash, lo yifchis mekoimetz, so he has to bring not less than a koimetz. The second case, I'm a nadav mincha, a person brings a voluntary mincha, yovim a koimetz levoina, he brings a koimetz of levoina. The third one, hamalas a koimetz b'chutz chayev, if a person were to take the koimetz and offer it outside the Beis Mikdash, then he'd be chayev koris. So in other words, the same way as when he burns it inside on the mizbeach in the proper place, and it has to be a koimetz, the same way he's chayiv kares for bringing a koimetz outside the mishnah. Rashi points out for that reason the Tana doesn't bother mentioning the fact koimetz itself has to be burnt on the mizbeach, because effectively it's the same thing. Why is he chayiv for a koimetz outside the azara? Because the koimetz is the amount that he's supposed to be offering on the mizbeach inside. Next. and the fourth and fifth, Shnei Bazichin, Tonin, Shnei Kmatzim, the two Bazichin of the two bowls that of Lavoina that go with the Lechem Aponim, each one requires a koimetz of Lavoina, and there's your fourth and fifth koimetz. Okay. Continuing with the cases where a person says, I'm going to bring something, I realize Zahav, if a person says, I pledge to bring gold to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, unlike the wood and the Lavoina, where we're talking about those would be burned on the Mizbeach, here already we're talking, of course, about Kodesh Bedek HaBayis. These are things where he's saying that I'm going to bring them to the treasury of Hekdesh. So he says, I'm going to bring gold, lo yifchus medino zahav. He should bring not less than a gold dinar. Because in other words, when he says gold, unspecified, then the minimum would be the smallest gold coin. We'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow. What about, conceivably, could there be smaller coins? But we'll get to that. Next, Kesef, he says, I pledge to give silver, lo yifchus medino kesef, and he should bring not less than a silver, dinar. Now, in fact, there are silver coins, definitely, there were definitely smaller silver coins in those days, so we'd have to be talking about in a place where they don't have such small silver coins. Because in general, the rule with all these things is you want to bring the smallest, he's obviously wants to bring more than he could, but at least he has to bring the smallest thing that would have that name. So the smallest amount of silver would be the smallest circulating silver coin, so in some places that was a dinar, and in some places there were smaller ones than that. Nechoytes, if he says, I'm going to bring copper to the Beis HaMikdash, lo yifchus mi ma kesef, and he should bring not less than a ma of silver. Now, he said copper, but he means, in other words, he would have to bring the amount of copper that's equal in value to a silver ma. Mephoshim talk about why that would be. Why don't we just say that he has to bring? Why doesn't he have to say that? Why don't we say that he brings a pruta? So Sfas Emes and then a number of other achronim point out that less than that is not a dover choshel, is not considered something significant. And when a person is donating to Hekdesh, we assume that he means something that has significance. Actually, a number of achronim talk about that there's a difference. Here we just said harayel anachoshes, I pledge to bring copper. If he had said makbeya anachoshes, if he had said a copper coin, then maybe in fact he would. Then maybe in fact he should. It would be enough for him to bring a pruta. Now the Gemara eventually we're going to get into the Gemara. Why are we assuming it's coins anyway? We're going to learn in the Gemara tomorrow. Why don't we assume that, for example, it means a bar of gold or silver? And the case would be that the Mishnah said he's pledging a coin of gold or silver. So then in that case, then why not with why not with copper? So the Tzion Kodshim gives an explanation. It means that to begin with, he said the metal, and afterwards he explained he meant a coin. So when it comes to copper, then we can assume that he actually meant a bar of copper, which is worth a ma of silver. And again, the Sfas Emes says that a person is not going to make a pledge to Hekdesh of only one pruta, and therefore we have to assume that he meant more than that. Okay. The Mishnah continues, if he says Pirashti, if he says at the time I made my neder, I specified how much I'm going to bring, and I don't remember how much I specified, so then it's not enough for him to bring the gold dinner or the silver dinner or whatever, because maybe he pledged more. So he has to bring enough until he says this is obviously not what I meant. In other words, so let's say we're gonna make him bring 100 dinarim, and he's gonna say, well, I never would have made a neder of that large amount. So then we say, okay, well then, okay, 90 dinarim or whatever, you know, 90, maybe I said 90, so then he'd have to bring 90, etc. Achronim talk about, interestingly enough, the minas of that are negeya lahalocha nowadays. For example, a person, one case, the Ben Ishchai brings up in his Shuvos about a case where a person pledged to give to a certain tzedakah fund, and now he forgot which one. And there are several tzedakah funds that he gives to regularly. Would he, in fact, have to give to all of them, or would he be yotze just by giving to one of them? First, he brings from the Chassam Sofer that says that, in fact, he would have to give to all the different tzedakas, and then he says maybe in this case it's different. It's one the Chassam Sofer is talking about, let's say, different shuls, but here we're talking about, let's say, different tzedakah funds, where ultimately maybe they go all to the same poor people, just for different purposes. Maybe it would be good enough to just bring the one. The Ramosha Feinstein has a truva where somebody had stolen and wrote to the Moshe to ask for how he should do truva, where in particular he had stolen from many different people and he doesn't remember how many he stole from. So again, Ramosha tells him you would really have to, you know, the din is when a person stole and he doesn't know who he stole from, or like he had dishonest weights and measures or whatever, then the din is yasat sochirab, and he's supposed to use the money for public works projects, so that way everybody will benefit from it. So the Moshe tells this guy, you're going to have to do the same kind of thing. You're going to have to give so much until you can be sure this is obviously not, I didn't steal anywhere near this amount. And then only at that point will you be positive. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, we talk about the case where the person says, Harealai eats him. So we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says that when a person brings a korban mincha, the extra word korban, melamachim is nadvin eitzim. So here we learn that a person can bring wood as a voluntary korban. The kama, and how much? Shnei gzirim, like we said in the Mishnah, when he just says eitzim, he would have to bring a minimum of two pieces of wood, of the size that are used on a mizvah. We find another example where wood is called a korban. We find in Nehemiah where it describes how at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash they had a shortage of wood. So various families donated that they would pledge that they're going to give X amount, that they're going to give wood to the Beis Hamikdash, and every year after that, the date on which they brought wood was a yom tov for their family. The Gemara talks about it in the Sefer Tainus. And the pasuk says, we made a lottery about the korban ha'etzim, that different families had come forward and pledged that they were going to bring wood, so they made a girdle to determine which family will bring on which day. So that family would bring the wood supply that's going to be needed from now until the next family's turn and so forth. And then, as the Gemara tells us in Tainus, each of those families would celebrate during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash and even afterwards would celebrate it as their own family yom tov. So we see that a person can donate wood as a korban. Rebbe says it's not just that wood can be brought as a korban. Eitzim korban haim, the wood is actually considered a korban for all purposes. So the Tanakhama would say they're basically the machshirei mitzvah. You bring them to the mizbeach and you use them to be able to burn the korbanos. But Rebbe says no. You actually consider them a full fledged korban of their own. Tonin melach, they have to be salted, like all korbanos have to be salted. Tonin hagosha, and you have to touch them to the southwest corner of the mizbeach, like you do by a mincha. So in other words, Rebbe is saying if you want to learn it from a pasuk that refers to a mincha, then you have to treat them 100% like a mincha. Amar Rava, and Rava points out, although Divrei Rebbe, according to Rebbe, also eats in Torn and Kmitza. The wood would require Kmitza, just like any other mincha. You would have to splinter some of the wood into little splinters, and then the Kohen would have to take a Kohen from it. And what you do with the rest of the wood? What you do with the rest of the wood after that? Tosfos says over here that you would burn the rest of them as they are. Amar Rabbi Gershom says that it would be given to the Kohenim like a mincha in that sense. Amar Papa, and Papa says that Divrei Rebbe ate from Tonim Eitzim. In fact, according to Rebbe, the wood that you donated as a korban itself would require wood to burn it on the mizbeach. And it was the same way, for example, let's say a person gives a mincha, you don't just take the kremitz and burn it on the mizbeach. You need wood in order to burn the kremitz. The same way over here. If the wood, according to Rebbe, is treated as an independent korban of its own, then you're going to need wood, you're going to need to have wood on the mizbeach in order to burn this kremitz of wood or the rest, and possibly the rest of the wood on the mizbeach. Earlier in the Masechta, when we talked about it, we said that the person himself did not bring the wood for that purpose. The person himself who was bringing the korban eitzim wouldn't bring wood for the purpose of burning them. Rather, that would be supplied by the tzibur. Or if he wants to bring that himself, he would have to give it over to the tzibur, as opposed to then the wood that he's bringing as the actual korban, that can remain his personal korban. We touched on this point about korban eitzim earlier in the Masechta as well. There's a sicha in Chelek Yud Zayin where the Rebbe analyzes in some detail this machloikas of Rebbe and the Chachamim about what the nature of the korban eitzim is, and also the Rebbe discusses over there a point that the Rashi and the Ritva versus the Rambam argue what exactly happens. What is it that makes that these days of korban eitzim are such a day of simcha? Is it the Rambam learns that they would actually bring animal korbanos together with them? In other words, in effect, the Rambam is holding that the wood itself, as much as it's considered a korban, according to Rebbe, it's not really a full-fledged korban to the extent where it would trigger a simcha for the fact that you're for the fact that you're bringing it. Rather, it would be the real simcha would really be more because of the accompanying korban, as opposed to according to Rashi and the Ritva, the very fact that they would bring the actual wood itself and then brun it on the mizbeach, according to Rebbe in particular, and therefore that would mean that according to them, it's actually a full fledged korban. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. We'll continue talking about these various cases in the Mishnah where a person said that I'm going to bring X amount, and that I'm going to bring a certain item for a korban, and how much he has to bring. We'll continue with that tomorrow, Beis Hashem.